This episode is brought to you by our free website startup from Church Media HQ. It seems that with many popular website platforms out there, you are paying them for the privilege to build your own website. There's very little, if any, service and support, and you're pretty much just on your own. At Church Media HQ, our team does all the heavy lifting by setting up and providing ongoing support for your church's website. And of course, there's no risk to you because we actually start the design of your website for free. There's no credit card required, and you only pay if you like what you see. So get our team started on your new website for free today at churchmediahq.com/web. That's churchmediahq.com/web. Well, today's guest is Dean Heasley of Burrow Business Labs right here in my hometown of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Dean has taught me a lot about websites, web presence in general, things like SEO, local Google business listings, social media, email marketing, and we talk about a lot of that in our conversation. Dean is really an expert, a master of his craft, if you will. And so I know that you are going to be greatly helped by my conversation with Dean. So let's get right to it. My name is Luke Clayton. I'm your host. Thanks for being with us, and welcome to Church Media HQ.
By doing good, having a good technical base for your website, making sure that it's optimized, making sure that it has good, fresh content on a monthly basis, all of those things really work towards helping you rank. So having a good website also that connects with your Google My Business listing, that is the second step. So a good, customer-friendly, easy-to-understand website.
Okay.
Yeah.
So websites is something that, from what I've observed in the past, well, I guess we could argue in the past 18 months, but more or less in the past decade or so, I feel like the role of a website has changed.
Yes.
So whereas a website used to be a hub of information, if you will, and not to say that websites don't need to have your information.
Sure.
But for example, I'll talk church talk because that's what I understand. Sure. It would be like, okay, if you've got an event coming up at your church, you know, you're going to make sure it's on your website. Whereas now it's like, well, it wouldn't hurt for it to be there, but you probably should be putting that out on Facebook.
Yes.
Like talking about your events, like Facebook's really going to be, you know, create an event there or a post or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm getting at is I will still get, you know, churches and any other non-churches that I've worked with that are kind of still stuck in this mindset of kind of like the old way of a website, if you will.
Right.
And so what I've seen, and I think I may have learned this from you, I can't remember, but it was like the statistic was like 95% of people never leave the homepage when they come to your website. So basically the idea is just focus on your homepage. You know, everything else, okay, not to say it does not matter,
sure,
but if 5% matters, you know, your homepage 95% matters. So anyways, I'll let you talk to that a little bit as far as like what makes a good website.
Sure. So a good website does a few things. And a good website, when I talk about a good website, I'm talking about two different things. I'm talking about one from Google's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And two, from the customer's perspective.
Okay.
Now, ultimately, I think 10 years down the road, those are going to be very, very similar. But right now, there's some overlap.
Okay.
Not all completely overlapped. So from Google's standpoint, a good website is going to have name, address, phone number, hours, map, contact info, form fill, all of the stuff that is going to make it valid for Google. There's going to be some stuff behind the scenes called schema markup so that Google doesn't have to actually interpret the website. So in other words, Google used to crawl a website and see 10 numbers in a row and think that's probably their phone number. With schema markup, it's code you put in the back end of the website that you can tell Google, hey, Google, here's the phone number.
Here, okay.
Right. Gotcha. So it kind of serves it up for Google. So it uses less computing energy. So lots of technical stuff from Google's standpoint, making sure that it's fast to load and all of that. from a customer standpoint, it has to have the information that they're looking for, which kind of goes back to what you were saying. And the way that I would describe it is, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, a website had to have all the information on the website. Mm-hmm. Now the website has to point adequately at multiple different platforms that have the information. Mm. So Facebook, Instagram for the kids, you know, Vimeo or YouTube Live for the sermons, and then, you know, Buzzsprout or whatever you're using for podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
So it has to link out adequately to all of these different platforms. But the importance of the website still can't be understated. Mm-hmm. You're never going to rank well in Google without a website. And it, not having a website is a massive credibility hit.
Yeah.
Like I would hesitate to do business with a business that did not have a website.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And cause I have also, I haven't, if you will, fought that a lot, but I have had some say, well, you know, we got a pretty good presence on Facebook and we have a good Facebook page and whatever. So we don't think we really need a website.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, I think that the, like you said, yeah, like you're saying, the website's really important, but the role it plays might be different than what you're thinking. And, you know, cause here's the thing that eats me up. If I go to a church website in particular, and it's like, it is telling me when the next church picnic is and all this stuff, but I can't find, well, it used to be just two, now it's really three. If I can't find three things, it's a deal breaker, because I know that people are looking for the same thing. First of all, your service times. When do you meet? You know, where are you located? And then now, like I said, the third one I've added, especially since after, you know, the whole COVID in the past, like I said, 18 months, is how do I watch or listen to your sermons online?
Yes.
And it is amazing to me how, you know, usually now though, the watcher service thing, everybody understands the importance of that. So they have it there, but it is amazing to me how many websites I'll go to, and I've either got to go to a whole other page, or I've got to just scour the webpage to find that service times and your location.
Right.
And, you know, I've had people say, well, I want to make sure that, you know, our latest events are up to date and whatever. It's like, no, you need to make sure that you've got that basic stuff down, that you can find your, like I said, you can find where it's at and you've got the service times. Because like I said, I could care less if you're talking about your latest church picnic on your website. If I'm new, I don't care.
Right.
I'm probably going to come to church, not the picnic.
Yes.
Most likely. And so anyways, that role has shifted. But yes, the importance of the website, I mean, you've got to have it. And like you said, the credibility with search engines is a huge part of it. So
yes,
so you got to have a website.
And those three things that you're talking about are all answers to the question, how do I interact with you? Mm-hmm. Like, if I want to interact with you in person, how and when do I do that? Where and when? Mm-hmm. Or if I want to interact with you digitally, where and when. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you think about it from a very high level, that's ultimately that's the information that you're trying to give to the person, to the searcher, is how can I interact?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and so to take that a step further, what would you say then is the more or less the purpose, like the primary objective of a website? Like if it was like, hey, I want, and really, no matter if it's a church, a business, whatever, when you visit this website and it's a new visitor, if I can get you to do one thing, what would you say that is?
Right. So for my clients, it's how do we get the searcher to contact you? And then I give my clients a choice. Do you want them to fill out a form, mm-hmm. which the fewer fields, the better?
Of name, course.
Email.
Name and email.
Phone. Yeah.
Maybe phone number.
Right. Or clickable phone number. So like I've got an HVAC client. Upper right corner is the most important real estate on any website. Mm-hmm. So his phone number is clickable in the upper right corner, and it's a different color than everything else on that page, mm-hmm. because that's what we want people to do. Mm-hmm. Most people will not even scroll on the homepage. Mm-hmm. They'll see whatever's above the fold, and what they see will build their trust enough to call or not call, or to fill out the form or not fill out the form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I mean, we were like saying 95% don't leave the homepage. Well, it's like, I wouldn't know the percentages, but most of them don't even, like you said, scroll.
Right.
They're just whatever loads there. I mean, that's how impatient we are nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we want to make sure that whatever that client wants the person to do, which in most cases for a local business, it's call.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that that is front and center.
Yep.
And I would argue, what I've argued for churches, especially again, given the landscape of church changing so much over the past 18 months, is to, I would argue that your number one objective is actually to make a personal connection.
Yes.
You want that visitor to connect with you. So it doesn't matter if that's, because I don't see this a lot. I don't see churches using what the business world would talk about as a maybe a lead generator.
Right.
You know, which, you know, the downloadable PDFs and the whatever. I mean, you see those all, get your name and email, we give you this gift. Well, and the thing I've told churches, I'm like, I don't know of a church that doesn't have some type of, you know, if you visit our church physically, you know, they've got some type of gift or some type of welcome packet. Like, hey, here's a mug or, you know, a little bag of goodies for your kids or whatever. And my thing is, why not advertise that on your website? Like, hey, if you visit us, you're going to claim a gift. We've got a gift for you. Click here, get your name and email, because now you can begin the, you know, follow-up process, if you will, even if they never physically set foot in your church, even if they right. bail and they don't come that Sunday. Well, now you've got their contact info and you can follow up with them, you know, and whether you want to do that personally or through an automated way, it doesn't matter. You've got their contact info.
Yeah.
And so that's the argument I always make for churches is, you know, there's a lot of things that are important. This is important. Like I said, we talk about the service times, the location. That's important information to have there. But as far as a call to action,
yeah.
you want to connect with that person.
Right.
You want, and it's the same for businesses. You want them to contact you, whether it's a phone number or some type of contact form. You want that. So
yeah.
Really good to understand the role of the website there and what makes it effective.
Yes. Yes. And in my mind, the role is a hub of information and inform people how you want them to interact with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we've gone through the first two steps.
Yep.
Are we ready for step three?
Step three is social media. I'm 45. So my internal brain mechanisms say social media is not as important as it is, but it is very important. I mean, for my business, we've gotten leads from Instagram, which is crazy to me. Like, are you looking for a digital marketing company on Instagram?
Yeah.
And so we
talk about organic leads.
Like just, yeah. Just people saying, hey, I saw this reel that I didn't make it.
Yeah.
We hired a recent MTSU grad, and her first week in the office, she was like, I'm going to start a Borough Business Lab TikTok. And I was like, that's fine, but no dancing.
Yeah.
And so she was like, fine, I won't dance. I won't do the TikTok dance. But she uploads these things she makes on TikTok to Instagram. And to my amazement, we get leads from those because they're all about marketing and SEO and whatever. And but social media is very important because people are social. And because of COVID, we've physically retracted from being social with other people. So that socialization is happening now more and more online. Mm-hmm. So what we do for social media is, I think, different than what a lot of businesses do. Our social media product is actually called 3 Posts a Week. And it's simply designed.
By the way, awesome name again. 3 posts a week.
Clear over.
But
cover.
Hey, I know exactly what that means. Well done.
That's right. And so we post 3 times a week, really just to keep a business credible. Mm. Because people will find you on Google and then they'll think, oh, maybe I'll look and see what their Facebook page is like. Do they have pets or, you know, are they on Facebook? Mm-hmm. So what we do is designed to maintain credibility for a local business. It's not necessarily geared towards achieving a positive ROI. Mm-hmm. It's geared towards bolstering that digital footprint and that digital credibility. Mm-hmm. But it's still very important. So yeah. Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, depending, you know, for more white collar stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, social media. I obviously at my agency, I don't handle it because I don't even know
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm 30 and I'm awful with social media. I mean, I am should be because I'm technically a millennial, so I should love it.
Right.
And I don't.
Right.
And so honestly, if I'm confessing and my social media presence in general is not great. And I know it's not maybe your area of expertise, but with that three posts a week, is there a specific type of content you're posting? Like, is it images, videos, you know, just like text? What is it?
Yeah. So for the most part, it's images with text because if it's just text, nobody's going to read it.
Yeah, and basically nothing.
Facebook is going to serve it to like 1% of the people anyway. So usually it's images and video with either a graphic overlay or some type of text. And some of them get really positive engagement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just started working with a guy who is a basketball coach, like a personal trainer for basketball. And we've done some posts that have really done well for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's social media is really, it's not something that I focus my time on, but it's designed for maintaining that digital credibility.
Yeah. Well, I like what you said with that three posts a week, you know, a clever name, but also just a very, from what I've observed, again, not a social media expert, but in terms of just content output, just a strategy of consistency, you know, three posts a week, it doesn't sound like a lot, you know, and I mean, I know like big brands are out there. I mean, they're posting three times an hour, you know, but I mean, three posts a week is manageable, if you will, for just about anybody. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it gives credibility. So when somebody goes to your feed, they say, oh, hey, they're actually posting stuff.
Right.
I'll give them a follow because I know they're actually going to, you know, be giving me content.
Yes.
Whereas if you go to some social media, users, maybe such as myself, you'll see, hey, they haven't posted in years. So you're probably not going to follow me. I mean, you know, hey, that's my bad.
Right.
But I do think, again, clever name, but also a great approach there. Like if you can just strive for that three posts a week, I can see how that's just a very doable goal. But like you said, it's going to give you that credibility. Maybe not give you, you know, it's probably not going to get crazy, you know, huge followers or whatever out of it, but you're going to at least be credible. And that's everything online.
Yes. And as far as the specific types of content, the way that I break it down in my mind, I don't know if Macy does, she's our social media person. I kind of look at it like a Shakespearean sonnet, how the rhyming, you know, A, B, A, B, C, D, C, D, E, F, E, F, G, G. Well, the first three kind of, I'm such a nerd for remembering this. I mean, this is like ninth grade stuff. The first three, what are they called? Quatrains?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm vaguely familiar. You said sonnet, and then after that, I'm like, I don't really know.
So anyway, A, B, C, D, E, and F should all be some type of content that benefits the viewer.
Mm-hmm.
So a link to another blog post, a picture of a review from a client, something that is not promotional. Mm-hmm. And then GG, the two at the end, should be something promotional, like, hey, we've got this on sale or whatever. So the bottom line, the majority of the posts should be to the unselfish benefit of the viewer.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe 10% of those posts are held back for promotional of the company.
Yeah. Well, we're going to continue the conversation next time. And until then, I want to thank you for joining us for this episode. And I want to give you a reminder to subscribe on YouTube and wherever you're listening to podcasts. You can also check out the episode's description to learn more about featured products and services from Church Media HQ. You can also learn more about the show's guests and content contributors. Now, if you do find this content to be helpful, then help us out by leaving us a 5-star review and sharing this episode with other church leaders like you. Also remember, Church Media HQ, well, we're so much more than our weekly episodes. You can actually access creative resources such as weekly graphics, custom design requests, website setup, creative coaching, and a lot more. And all of this is available for free at churchmediahq.com. Well, until next time, I want to give you our infamous reminder that it's time for you to try something new, because you're going to find that it's so much better to fail
trying the incredible than it is to succeed at doing just the average. We'll see you next time right here on Church Media HQ.